thing, so
here we go.
All right, so are we recording? We're definitely recording.
We're definitely recording now.
Are you sure?
Shut up.
Ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, welcome to another fucking episode of this bullshit podcast called Free to a Good Home.
Do you know,
the,
Michael, if
the
you
internet's
don't wanna,
only
if you
funny
don't
podcast.
Wanna, if you don't want to do this episode, if you don't want to do this podcast anymore, me and Alexi Teleopoulos can have a lovely positive time. That's true.
Alexi, how are you feeling being on the internet's official funny podcast?
It is exciting. I hope I'm up to the challenge. You know, I've never been on a funny podcast before. Usually I talk more theory about films and otherwise. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to try
mysteries,
my hand.
Things of that nature.
Exactly. You know, that kind of thing. Serious detective work. And now I'm going to try my hand at trying to get a few tittles and tattles out there. And I'm excited.
Yes. Okay. So I mean, the first Alexi, thing I want to tell you is that tattles isn't really what we call them. Tittles, sort of. Like, we can just get a line. Tattles is like, to me, that's like telling on someone, and we really discourage snitching on
That's
just something that, straight away, I'm not going to give you notes side stage, like, because I know that's an, I'm not going to side coach the whole time.
Well, you've embarrassed me.
Because you've never been on
me.
A funny podcast before. Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, you've embarrassed me, but you know, this is all new jargon for me, this world of humor. So try my best, you know? But I will be honest.
No, I appreciate that.
I do have a tear in my eye from being shamed so publicly.
Alexi, listeners would remember you as two of the most classic Free to a Good Home episodes in recent memory.
I was
one
actually
where
say,
you went on a trip with where you met up with a vampire. Mm-hmm. That was a couple of years back. And more recently, where you brought in a classified that you found on the internet that absolutely rinsed Ben, who was trying to give away, I think, a washing machine.
Yes, a washing machine for, I think, 7 weeks. But I think it was early 7 weeks that you were trying to get rid of a washing machine for.
All right, laugh it up. Yuck it up. I just realized the enormous self-own that was of saying that Alexi had never been on a funny podcast when he had guessed on ours twice.
Maybe more, yeah.
Well, you guys only recently made the switch to being a funny podcast, so I'm glad to be here back for it.
Well, we are still hearing from people all around the world who find our podcast by Googling funny podcasts and finding...
It's wild.
A particular list of that someone's put together of funny podcasts.
It's the sort of SEO that other podcasts would literally murder people for. You know what I mean? And,
but so much so that someone messaged our Facebook page and said that they found us for that, and they were so offended by our nonsense talking about that they were refusing to join the Patreon.
Wow.
That's true.
But if you do join the Patreon, the most recent thing we put up was a live episode we recorded at the Vanguard a couple of weeks ago with guests Tom Walker, Bridie Connell, and Jen Fricker. And aside from a longer than I would like segment where you all refer to me as a bumbling pedophile for, I'd say, 12 minutes, I thought it was a really enjoyable night.
It was a very fun night. It was good. But that's a deserved 12 minutes, I think.
Wow.
Dude, it's fucking
Alexi,
brutal.
How have you been since we spoke last?
I have been quite well, I would say. I've actually, in the time since I last spoke to you on the recorded format of a podcast, humorous or otherwise, I have actually grown my first ever moustache.
Are you kidding me? That was your first moustache? Because I saw you in the meantime. We shot a thing together, you and I.
Yes.
And I saw you with a moustache, and it was like, I honestly was like, oh, he's always had that. Okay, yes. It's a comment because he's always had that.
It's changed my energy completely. I do give off this Burt Reynolds raw masculinity vibe now. That seems like it's always been the case.
I was going to say your moustache gives you almost like a fun and free energy rather than a raw masculinity kind of thing. It was more of a Salvador Dali. I know you're not growing a Salvador Dali moustache, but it does give you a certain Salvador-esque energy about you, I think.
I can't believe,
and the melted clock that you follow, you carry, yeah. carry around all the time.
I honestly, King, I gotta say, I'm shocked. I've never heard of anyone have to refer to something being similar to the style of that particular artist, Salvador Dali, and go by Salvador-esque instead of Dali-esque, which is a term I've heard many a time before. But I've never heard anyone go by the first name for such a thing.
Yeah. Hing's like having to fill out a bunch of like crazy bureaucracy forms at like the at the RTA or whatever, and he's like, "This is just Franz-esque."
Hey guys, I just got these new shoes. They're Air Michaels, and they are absolutely crushing it.
Fucking idiot!
Wow, they should
everybody
cool.
have. We are recording this one day after the spookiest day of the year, Halloween. Did everybody have a good Halloween?
Oh, yes. I actually had something interesting happen to me on Halloween. Not interesting happened to me, but I had an interesting occasion on Halloween, Ben. It was my my younger sister Joey's wedding.
She booked a wedding on Halloween. Like, she knew it was Halloween because it's the same night every year.
I don't know how much I've talked about Joey on the podcast before. This is my sister who's very much into schemes and scams. I don't think getting married was a scam, although we haven't ruled it out. She and her now husband, who I somewhat resent because his name is also Michael. And so... Mm-hmm.
Is he taking her last name or...?
He's now Michael Hagan. No, so his name is... his name's also Michael, which means that to differentiate us in the family group chat, my parents now refer to me by my full name as Michael Hing in the group chat.
Wow.
And that is humiliating. Obviously, wow. I love him because he's part of my family and whatnot, but I am resentful for that and that alone. They're wedding on Halloween. I don't think they put it together when they were planning, because there was a certain date after COVID restrictions that they wanted to get married because of like old school Chinese numerology reasons.
Really?
Yeah, just like a good luck thing. They weren't super serious about it, but it was just like important to certain parts of the family, I think. And I think this was a date that worked, I think. I'm not sure of the ins and outs, but I don't think they picked it because it was Halloween. But I did ask Hum if I could wear a cape and fangs to it, and Hum said absolutely not. She really she really could put the kibosh on that.
You're lucky and that was it a nice Hum wedding? Is around to keep you in check with stuff like this, because honestly, the more I get to know you, the more I believe that you could ruin everything that you've accumulated of your life just in a heartbeat, or some sort of humorous joke, a lark, if you will, that will get at the most a titter. At the most, it would get a titter if you came dressed as a Dracula, but it would ruin your family. It would really upset your sister.
Yes, absolutely would.
This new Michael would probably kill you. He would probably kill you. This new Michael.
He was so upset. It was a beautiful wedding. It was a very lovely wedding. My job, because it was because of COVID stuff, it was quite hastily arranged, because I think they put it together not knowing how long they'd be able to have a wedding for, so it was arranged very quickly. So
Anybody make any references to the fact that it was All Hallows Eve? Did they?
No one did. Everyone. So that would have made my costume, like, if everyone was joking about it, it would have made my costume acceptable. If no one joked about it, it would have been me just in a Dracula costume, a fucking onion. But it was a really beautiful wedding, really lovely. Because it was hastily put together, though, everyone had like helping out jobs because they didn't have enough time to find it, like professionals to do everything. So my job, for example, was I was basically the COVID marshal. I had a little thermometer gun, and I had to check everyone's temperature as they came in and direct them to the hand sanitizer. And then later on, I was literally the fun police in charge of telling people they had to stay in their seats and they couldn't mingle, and also like making sure that the music didn't get too loud so people didn't dance. It was
you had the John Lithgow in Footloose role.
Yeah,
that was your job.
I was the wedding villain. I was the fun police, and in many ways I was born to play.
Wow.
Did it get awkward at any point? Did were people
no.
like
everyone was actually really like I think everyone's kind of living under this COVID regime, and they realized that it was fine. It was weird when I had to, because of the venue rules and because of COVID restrictions, I did have to take my sister's temperature when she arrived before she walked down the aisle. That was kind of fun, I guess.
You didn't have to. Like, the police weren't there. Like, nobody would have known if you didn't do that.
I swore an oath when I took on this job.
When you took her temperature, was Here Comes the Bride playing? Like, this is the soon as the song starts, you're like, hold on a moment, just tapping her forehead with this gun.
Sorry, guys. If I could make this about me for a second, I've got a job I need to do.
Did you consider, just before the song had started playing.
Did you consider doing the joke where you were like, oh, sorry, 40?
Oh, of course I did. Of course I told her to go home. I was like, 38, you gotta go home, Joey. Sorry. Of course, what do you mean? You think giving me a temperature, I didn't... Every third person I was doing it.
King, may I ask, did you have to lift a veil for your sisters to take your sister's temperature? Because that is something I've never had to think of before, but now I'm having this image in my head of her having to lift the veil so you can touch this gun against her forehead.
Lifting the veil and getting like a temperature gun at a wedding is like almost too on the nose COVID. Like, you know what I mean? If there was a film in like 15 years that's set now and that happened, that would really pull me out of it, because it's like that was way too on the nose. It'd be equivalent of like having like a movie set in like the 80s and like, I don't know, Ronald Reagan's just on the street being the president
or something. I don't know. Something crazy like that. Very typical of 1980s.
Like, it's like you go to like a restaurant and the person's like, what can I get for you? Ronald Reagan's the president. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of...
No, I didn't have to lift the veil, but previously when I was checking people, I don't know how much temperature gun work you guys have done in the past, I've done a full night of it. And often if someone has a fringe that hangs down over their forehead, your hair, the person's hair won't maintain the temperature or heat as well as a forehead will. So the thermometer will scan the hair and you'll get some really off reading of like the person is dead. You know what I mean? So a couple of times I had to ask people to part.
Very spooky.
I had to ask people to part their fringes. But because the veil was sitting very close to my sister's head and there was like gaps in it that I could put the beam through, I was fine. Didn't have to lift the veil.
You just didn't need to do any of this.
Yeah, the kind of best my favorite moment of the wedding was my mum came up to me and said, can you give this to Joey when she comes in? Because mum wanted to sit down the front. And she gave me a ring that I'd never seen before that had like a sapphire in it. And I was like, oh, what's this for? And she goes, oh, well, what is it? It's something old and something blue. And I was like, no, it's something borrowed. And then my mum's like, oh, well, she's going to give it back. Then I had to give my sister a ring and was like, hey, Mum, I want you to have this for, I guess, 2.5 hours, but you need to give it back at the end
of
the thing.
But also, there is something blue in that rhyme, so your sister just, like, your mum was right, and you just cost your sister a ring. It's something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue.
Oh, right, well, I don't, look, I couldn't remember it.
She didn't anyway, give it back at all.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's a nice Halloween. I had like the first one where Moses was like old enough to like kind of know something's going on, and like the neighborhood kids kind of came around. We had this little party and we dressed Moses up like Moses. It was great. He had a little stick and some tablets.
Wow, really? Did you make little tablets for your boy?
Yeah, I cut him out of like a nappy box and made these little tablets that he kind of held for like 5 seconds before throwing them off. I cut a hole in a pillowcase, a couple of holes in a pillowcase, made his little robe.
Wow.
It was very fun.
Do you think he got it? He was like, oh, this is because I'm named after a biblical character.
Moses. Yeah, no, good one, Dad.
Will he know who Moses is?
No, I mean, he knows who I am and he knows who his mother is. He doesn't know who either of you are. So, no, he doesn't know who Moses is.
Well, do you think he'll know? Who do you think he'll learn first? Well, do you think he'll learn me or Moses first?
I'm finding Desperado's doing very well. Maybe it will be me.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. Maybe it'll be Alexi. I'm going to go out of my way to make sure that Moses knows Alexi before he knows him. And before he knows the biblical character that he shares a name with. But we had a neighborhood thing, and I got like bizarro slapped. You know the book The Slap and the television show The Slap?
Christos Solkos. It is based on Greek communities happenings, I believe.
Absolutely. There is a barbecue. There's like a neighborhood thing, mm-hmm. and somebody slaps somebody else's kid, and that's yeah. like the that's like the spark, the kind of, you know, powder keg moment that sets off all this stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
I was at a neighbor's Halloween thing, and his 8-year old came up, like, just ran into the room, pointed at his dad, and then punched his dad square in the nuts. Whoa. Right? And then I laughed, and the kid turned and punched me right in the nuts.
You got sack whacked.
And I didn't know what to do.
How old was this kid, do you reckon?
Probably 8. He's a good...
As an eight-year-old, you know what you're doing.
Oh, he totally knew what he was doing. He was punching people in the nuts because it's a funny thing to do. But it was one of those things where, like, we didn't really... Like, I wasn't, like, the slap in that there was any kind of fallout other than that he punched me in the nuts. It was just this kind of slightly awkward social thing where, like, like, no one really knew what to do.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was my Halloween.
Did the kid get laughs? Did people laugh?
The kid got... It was like this. It was like, the room was like, ha 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 ha, punch your dad in the nuts. Ha 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 ha, oh my god, he punched Ben in the nuts. And then they kind of realized that, hang on, you probably shouldn't be punching anybody in the nuts, but least of all this kind of stranger. So it kind of went, ha ha ha, oh nan, we don't do that. And I think the dad was like also a little bit miffed that he didn't get that reaction from everybody. Like,
oh, everyone
was like, fuck yeah, get him.
Was this being held at your house, Ben?
No. We'd gone to the neighbors by then.
Right, I was going to say, if this child came into your own house and then punched you in your nuts, I mean, in many ways, you'd have to let the kid sort of have the house from now on.
Take it over.
Yeah, you can marry my wife. He's got to raise my son now. It's fine.
Can I ask, what was the mix of emotions that you had during this sack whacking? Did you feel humiliated? Or did you feel excited? Like, you're like, wow, this is taking me back to my youth when I was last sack whacked.
I certainly didn't feel excited or nostalgic.
Yeah, okay.
It was awkward, and it was, to be honest, not a little painful.
Yeah, okay. That's exciting.
He really went for it, you know? No, again, Alexi, it wasn't. You keep saying it was exciting.
It wasn't thrilling, Ben.
Yeah,
it's thrilling.
Thrilling moments.
It wasn't thrilling. It was awful. The other thing, just quickly before we launch into some classifieds, is I wanted to give you an update. Last time we got together and recorded something, you and I, Hing, I told our listeners to dream about you because you didn't want anybody to dream about you. And I said, go, listeners, just really try and kind of incept yourself into dreaming about Michael Hing.
I've forgotten about this, yes.
Yeah, and get back to us. Send us a message about your dream so I can tell you. Well, guess what, Michael? When I checked it yesterday, nobody had dreamt about you, or if they had, they hadn't gotten in touch. And I was really down about that. But then, no shit, last night, I dreamt about you.
What?
Whoa.
I don't know if this was my subconscious, like, stepping up. You know when, like, you're at a show and, like, audiences aren't participating and you're like, ah, fuck, it's going to have to be me, isn't it? Like, maybe that was it. I don't know. But I dreamt about you, Michael Hing.
Okay, well, previously, the only dream I can remember that you've had about me that you've told me before was that I think I was putting on a Christian rock festival and you ruined it or something?
Yeah, no, I didn't ruin it. You wanted me to work there and I was kind of insulted because I realized that you actually just wanted me to take tickets, I think, was the...
Wow, in your dreams, that's... you take Hing's role, like at the wedding. You're just there at the front door checking everyone's okay to enter.
Yeah, all right, but that wasn't the dream that I had. The dream that I had was that we were recording this very podcast. I don't think it was with Alexi. I'm sorry, Alexi.
That's okay.
Like, you didn't make the dream cut.
God damn. I wonder who the dream guest was. I thought I was in with a chance.
I can't recall. It was probably Bono. You know what I mean? Like, it was probably Bono.
Yeah. We obsessed with that guy. I would love to ask him about the glasses, about peace and stuff. Be incredible.
What would you ask him about the glasses? What would you actually ask him?
I would be
about
like,
the glasses.
Do you see the whole world as blue? Or does it look normal when you wear the glasses? Because for us, it looks like you're wearing blue glasses. But to you, does the world look
glasses?
Blue?
Well, doesn't he wear yellow glasses?
I'm mainly thinking of, like, he wears blue in my eyes. Maybe I'm the one with the fucked up vision.
He wears different shades of glasses.
Wow.
Depending on, I suppose, Bono's mood.
That is exciting.
So looking at this now, just doing a quick Google search, there's like an orange pair and like an orangey red pair he wears. Wow, there's okay. a more blue pair he wears, and there is also a kind of a yellowish and a purple pair. So he's got
a purple pair.
Well, yeah, I guess I might change my question. I might ask, is what out of all the different colors of glasses you have, which one is your favorite? I saw you two in concert last year. It might be like the last big concert I ever get to go to. And it was like magnificent. Like it was, I want to go because I do like you two. I'll admit that on the record here. If this is the first time I publicly said it out loud, I like you two. No big whoop. They're a great band. And then I also had never been to like a big stadium rock show. So I'm like, I've got to go experience this once in my freaking life. You two, congratulations. You're it. Bono the Edge, Adam Clayton, and the other guy. I can't wait to go see what you guys are up to.
I'm very impressed you got to Adam Clayton. I think it's actually more insulting. It's more insulting to the other guy that... Because I think like you either know Bono. I think there are three types of U2 knowledge, right?
Yes.
There's Bono. I just know Bono's in there. I know Bono and the Edge. Yep. And I know all of them. I think what you've done there is specifically very insulting to the other.
Well, I actually do know the other one's name. His name is Larry Mullen Jr., but you preempted me at the start of the episode saying, this is now a humor podcast. And like you said, you just pointed out why the option I chose was the single funniest option that I could employ to what the amount of U2 knowledge I would have would be. So I knew all of them, but I knew the funniest option would be to play by a little thing that I researched prior to this show. It's this idea of the rule of threes. Everything is funny. Sure. In threes. Mm-hmm. It's so normal.
A lot of podcasts would be content just to do the jokes, but only Free to a Good Home will do a joke and then spend 2 minutes just explaining why at all, if any, humor was contained within the joke.
Look, you've got to fill 50 minutes with something. So like joke and then director's commentary on the joke. Alexi, just a real quick thing here. Gain, don't want a side coach, but this is a humor podcast.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's a lie podcast. So okay.
I shall keep it honest then.
Thank you very much. You can be funny.
I know all the members of U2. I promise you that. I've listened to their songs privately and often in public. And especially the most public setting I've ever listened to their songs was, in fact, during this concert. And I was sharing the experience with many, many people.
Who can all back this up.
Was this the... Which concert was it? Which tour was this? Because I've been to see U2 before as well.
This was the most recent tour. This was last year. This was their Joshua Tree reunion tour, where they were just doing the Joshua Tree. A lot of classic U2 hits from that album, that one would say, on that album, and they were performed live within that setting. And then one of the things that happened in this, like there were some new songs that they played, and one of the songs was like this song that only Bono could ever do. There were two things that was like such like a Bono move, and one of them was like this feminist anthem written by Bono. It was like a new song that they had, and it was like, you know, singing about like women's rights and stuff like that, and how like magical women are. And they have like this giant like LCD screen behind them, like the biggest screen I've ever seen. And it just had
that's like their famous concert thing, right?
Yeah, and it's got like incredible like short film footage, like all this footage going on. But for this song, it just had like notable women from around the world. So it would have like, but they kept on like customizing things for Australian settings. So like you'd see like famous women that you would know, like you'd see like Maya Angelou, and then like it would cut from Maya Angelou to like a stock footage of Magda Sabansky and like just like Rachel Griffiths and stuff. I'm like, yeah, these are like Australian women that we can show. And then like,
so it's like the equivalent of doing local gear everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And it was like, it got even more strange, like all this like local stuff. Like the whole time, like Bono's been going like, Australia, you're an incredibly old country. You've been around for thousands of years. And like just going on about that. And it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then like, you know, it's U2. So like, even though they're like probably older fans, they're probably still pretty woke because it's Bono. And then at the end of the thing where he's like really riled us up, like, yeah, we are Australia, we are this beautiful country, then like this like fucking 100 foot like meter screen or whatever just starts glowing with the Australian flag, and not a single person in the audience was moved by the patriotism of seeing this flag. And it was just like this song about like trying to inspire that energy within you, and it was just like the most off base little research that anything's ever gone to think that people would be moved by seeing the Australian flag in this concert setting.
That's so funny.
Oh my god. Just quickly, Hing, do you want to know what my dream was?
Yes, I do. Very quickly, what was your dream about me?
We were recording an episode and I said, you know, we did an ad. I can't remember what the ad was, but I remember it being really good. And I said, this is such a funny ad. Where did you find it? And then you said to me off mic, oh, dude, I wrote all of this. What's wrong with you?
That's the genius of the pot.
Wow. I was like, have you been running all the ads the whole time? He's like, yeah, man. Like, how the fuck did you think this worked? And I was so angry and I quit the podcast. Wow. So I'm just telling you, if that's what you're doing, like, don't tell me, because Dream wow. Ben has acted in the way that I think real Ben would. Like, I would draw a line in the sand. I'd say this is ridiculous.
Wow.
We've misled thousands and thousands and thousands of people for years. We're like the Mike Daisy of comedy podcasts, you know, just making stuff up.
In many ways, the aim of this podcast is to ruin the reputation of Ira Glass. So in that way, we are the Mike Daisy. what a great joke, everyone. What a great joke.
I didn't even want to hear you deny it. You know what I mean? Let's just move on. And I can just say, I don't know where these crazy ads come from. Mm-hmm.
Guys, well, in the traditional Free the Good Home, I'm actually going to ask for a little joke explainer on this one. I'm actually not sure who Mike Daisy is, and I don't understand the humor of such a reference. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's listening to this conversation who's sitting here stone-faced, wondering who the fuck Mike Daisy is.
Mike Daisy is a monologist who, yes. About, I would say, six or seven years ago, did a monologue in a theater that went very well, and it was about going to China. He's an American. He went to China and he observed the conditions at the various factories that make Apple products. And it was Foxconn a very moving thing about how awful the conditions were in these places.
Yeah.
This was then turned into a podcast episode for This American Life, hosted by Ira Glass.
Okay.
And as soon as it was released,
I'm cutting every word of this, by the way, but sure. Go for it.
It needs to be said, I think, you know.
As soon as it was released, it was immediately identified that he'd made up most of the thing. Most of the experiences were completely fabricated. And even though there are horrible things that happened in the Apple factories, he didn't actually observe any of them because, you know, he'd just sort of like been on the outside and wasn't allowed in and the rest of it. And so then he had to do a whole episode with Ira Glass where Ira was like, why did you lie? And he's like, I don't know, I felt like it. And that was the whole fucking saga.
It's honestly some of the most awkward and really interesting radio I think This American Life has ever put out, because Ira Glass is so angry and Mike Daisy is so like ashamed, but like it's like a grown 50-year-old man being called into the principal's office. And the weirdest thing about it is, well, not the weirdest thing, the best thing about it is they leave in all the silence. Like, so there is a moment when Ira is like, so you just lied. And he's like, well, I don't think I lied. Well, what did you do? And I reckon like 15 seconds passes of just dead air. And you think that your like device isn't working anymore. And then he's just like, it's like, he, like, lips right up on the mic. He's like,
I guess I probably lied. Like, it's
so good. Wow. Had I known that reference, I might have laughed. I think that's pretty funny. Now that I understand it, I can see humor in there.
I encourage you, when we put this episode out, to go back and have a listen to that bit with the context that you have now, and give yourself a little bit of a tittle.
I think
have
a chuckle. A chuckle, might even tattle. I might tell the group and go, guys, check out this episode. If you want to laugh like I did, check out this new ep of This American Life from about 8 years ago, most likely behind a paywall. I did have to pay $15 for a season of This American Life to get it, but boy, was it worth it.
Yeah, you might also snitch on us to Mike Daisy, but this is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about. I might kick us off because we are approaching, I think, half an hour into the podcast without a classified, which might be a new record. I mean, we always say that.
It'll be up there. It'll be up there.
This was sent in by Claire Daravan. Thank you, Claire. And it's from Bisop Cell Has No Rules group. It's been posted by someone, and there's just a... It's from Perth in Western Australia. Hello, Perth.
Wow.
And the picture is just a slab of freshly poured concrete. That's the picture. And here's the text of the ad. I'm selling a fresh concrete slab as I've done it at the wrong house and it won't fit the new one. $500 or you can pick it up. And you can pick it up.
Wow. And the concrete is so fresh. This picture is so fresh.
Yeah, it really... That is also like really well... Like, look, I'm not going to pretend...
gorgeous.
At least not... I'm not going to Mike Daisy this and pretend that I know more about, concrete slabs than I do. But to me, it looks like this is really good work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Stunning. Yeah, like, to me, as someone who grew up within the Greek Australian community, I know a fair few things about a beautifully placed concrete slab in the backyard of a house.
And let me tell you, I was thinking about that.
Yes.
It was like the one time we have a Greek guy on, we talk about concrete slabs.
A concrete slab in a backyard. That's listen, I knew that I was brought here on this episode for a reason. And this is why I'm here, is to identify the quality of the pour on this concrete and whether it could be transported or not. And let me tell you.
What are your thoughts?
I honestly think that this is such stellar work. This is such stellar concrete pouring work. It looks so smoothed out. It looks like it was made for this place. And I actually think it would be heresy and a crime to remove this slab and take it anywhere else. This is what was intended by our Lord Zeus. Our Lord Zeus and the Lord of the Underworld, Hades. This is used to prevent Hades from climbing up from the underworld and into the mortal realm. That's why us Greeks have these large slabs of concrete in our backyards. It is all based on superstition that we hold.
Alexi, as a Greek person, have you ever been to Greece? I don't know.
I have been to Greece. I lived in Greece for just under 1 year when I was a young boy, coming of age.
Alexi speaks Greek. If you listen to Finding Drago, which we'll talk about in due time. The first season of that grouping, he does speak Greek to a librarian, and it's very nice.
Of course,
it's very touching.
Of course. I'd forgotten about that. Well, I just wanted to know, is the pouring of concrete in the backyard, is that just in a Greek Australian tradition, or in Greece is it also very common?
Well, you see, Hing, you've asked me a question that I actually do not have a possible answer for, and I don't know. I don't know if I should use this as an opportunity to perform some improvised comedy and come up with a funny situation that would describe both of them being similar or different, or if I should just say I actually don't know, and we can, you know, continue riffing in another realm.
It's kind of a funny observation, right? And I wonder if like Greek communities around the world are enthusiasts in terms of concrete in the backyard, or if it's just an Australian thing, because I feel like the reason it's so, I guess, like, quote unquote funny in Australia is because Australians generally are so passionate about their lawns and their backyards to a fault, frankly.
Yes, sure.
And so the idea of like concrete in your backyard is seen as like a funny, wacky thing in Australia, because the only thing Australians are really proud of is like, you know, their backyards. We invented the Hills Hoist, et cetera, you know?
Mm-hmm. You can put a Hills Hoist on concrete. I've seen it done.
Wow. I've seen it done in most backyards I've been to in my entire life. It can be done.
Well, I don't know what to think anymore.
So what do you think?
Can I just say it's actually a proud moment for me to make another ethnic comedian kind of feel a little bit ashamed of themselves while explaining their theories behind an ethnic stereotype used for much use of comedy within this country over the last 50 to 60 years. This is actually one of my proudest moments.
We'd love for all of this to be edited, frankly. We'd love it all to be cut out.
Well, unfortunately, you don't have that ability.
I don't.
On the ethnic spectrum, you're further along than I, and I was able to pull the trump cards.
Yeah, what do you mean by that, Alexi? Let's drill into that, shall we?
That's some impressive...
that the difference is I am ethnically diverse. I am culturally diverse, yet I am ethnically white, whereas you are both ethnically diverse and ethnically and culturally diverse. And you have and once again trumped me. This is how this
you'll
things
work. You'll notice that I have been... I've just been sort of like standing from the sidelines here being like, you're fucking up! But like very careful not to say anything else. I'm just like, put him in a body bag. that's all I'm willing to sort of dip my toe into this particular.
Oh, that's the new colonialism, Ben. It's the new colonialism. Would you pay $500?
Pay $500? Do you want me to appraise this? Do you want me to appraise how much this is worth? Because I would say a paw this good is worth far more than $500. It is worth the pride of your entire neighborhood to have a paw this good. And to see it be crumbled up and thrown away or given to another place, that is actually quite disgraceful. But
could it be transported like whole? That's what I mean. Like, could you actually get this out without smushing it up? In which case, it's not worth any money. Right.
I would say that if you were to dig this up and keep it in one whole piece, it would be in danger of actually create with that indentation in the ground of creating the perfectly sized portal for one Hades and Cerberus to come up from the underworld.
Cerberus so itself.
Perhaps this is a pretty good deal for Hades.
Yeah.
Perhaps just Hades pays a nice little $500 to make this beautiful port just go away. And then Bob's your uncle, out he comes.
Yeah, I guess so. Can I just tell you, I wish this name was not scribbled out on this thing, because I bet that they are Greek. I will bet you that it is a Greek surname that is obscured underneath this like crudely drawn markings on here.
Do you guys want one from me?
Yeah, let's go.
This was sent in by Penny Rumble. Penny wow. Rumble, what a
thank
name.
Thank you, Penny.
And thank you. This is in the Canberra area of... it looks like a kind of a buy swap sale.
Oh, my lords. Okay.
In the Home Goods decorative accents area of Home Goods. I'm not sure if that's like as in like just like little things that pop, like accents. Or I'm just not sure. I'm not going to get into it.
Sure, yeah, sure.
The title is Hitler the Skunk,
mm-hmm.
and has $150.
Yep.
And says, this is a rare Hitler the Skunk solid cast iron. Size is 12 centimeters by 4 centimeters by 12 centimeters. Asking $150. No low ballers or offers. Pick up at this place. No holds. Can't hold it for you. Can post at your expense.
Wow.
If it's still up for grabs. So what we're looking at here is like, it looks like these measurements are surprising to me because it doesn't look that big to me. But it look, to me it looks like an ushi. You know what I mean?
Yes.
To me it looks like the size of an ushi. The size of an ushi. But apparently it's about 2 to 3
size measurements.
For international listeners, ushis are these fucked little toys that our supermarkets
toys.
That our supermarkets give out and that kids somehow lose their mind over, and that there is like ushi mania because there's rare
ushis,
which culminated, I have to say, because we've started talking about ushis and you can't without telling this, because there are rare ushis and parents need to get the rare ushis for their kids, and also just strange people want them. Certain ushis are worth a lot of money. Back in, I think it was just before the bushfires. There was a huge drought. A lot of farmers were in a lot of trouble, and a farmer actually got one of the rarest ushis in his just like regular shop or whatever. And he put it online, trying to sell it for like a lot of water for his farm. It was like one of the most like fucking post-apocalyptic things I've ever seen.
Yes.
He was trying to trade this little Simba the Lion King ushi for water for his crops. There was a big pylon. People started cyberbullying the farmer
It was awful.
For doing this. It was a lot of people saying, just give it to a kid who wants it or whatever. And he was like, no, I'm trying to raise awareness about this drought. We're like dying out here. We don't have any support. Anyway, eventually this whole thing culminated in him on live breakfast television.
On the Today Show.
Oh,
on the
yes.
Today Show.
Wow.
On the Today Show, beheading ISIS style this Ushi.
And you could just hear people screaming out across Australia.
Yeah. He got a pair of kitchen scissors. You're quite right, Michael. He got a pair of kitchen scissors and with some difficulty, because he obviously couldn't practice it beforehand.
I mean, there's quite a lot of resistance in that little rubber Ushi. You know, they're not they're quite sturdy. I mean, they're well made. That's why people love them.
But the best thing about it is because Australia, because farmers in Australia are sort of these are considered like battling sacred people who you just can't insult. Everything they do is wonderful. The tone of the beheading of the Ushi as a segment took on an entirely heroic kind of candor, despite the fact that it was literally a man in a field cutting the head off a toy. And
the quote from
this article I'm looking at right now says, apparently during the broadcast, I'd forgotten about this, he said, I'm just standing up for what's right.
We come from a fake country. This is what we've just said is 100% true. We all know it, but it sounds like something completely made up. This sounds like fantasy. It sounds like something from a shit movie. But this was like a big news story, and there was lots of powerful emotions. I remember reading the comments on like articles posted for this, just like decrying this farmer, just like saying that he should have given it to a kid in need. He never deserved the Ushi in the first place, and like it was like some sacred item that he found. Like this is like they're like, this is the guy that pulled the sword from the stone. I do not think so. He is not worthy of it.
Anyway,
well,
Ben,
this particular I would have zero problem with anybody from any occupation beheading live on the Today Show.
This is one of the rarest Ushis.
Yeah, they're gonna find it difficult because it is solid cast iron. Mm. So you'd want some sort of like hacksaw,
an angle grinder of sorts,
an angle grinder. Because this is, ladies and gentlemen. This is for $150. It is the body of a skunk, but with the head of the mad dictator from the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler.
And it's magnificent. This is one of the more magnificent things I've ever seen. If I would love this to pop up on Antiques Roadshow just to like explain what the heck is going on, because it looks like it's in good condition. So this is not from the This is not from the 1940s. It's like has to become later than this, right? Because the paint's still present.
Some of the paint has come off. Well, some of the paint has come off his nose. Let's be clear. Like it's not in mint condition. And also, I will say this, that is, it is definitely the head of Adolf Hitler, but I will say he is sporting a moustache that I don't think Hitler ever had when he was in power.
In fact,
I would say of all the characteristics of Adolf Hitler in terms of his face, I would say probably the most famous is that little Hitler moustache. It's named after him.
This moustache that he's got now, Ben, would you describe it as like Salvador-esque, or would you? How would you?
He's not sporting the Adolf moustache that we all know and love.
Exactly.
This is more in the realm of a Burt Reynolds, or perhaps even a John Waters, if you will. John-esque. It's a John-esque moustache.
Would you say it's a Tullyopoulos?
I was
going to
say, is it Alexei-ish?
It is in that realm. But might I also point out another distinguishing feature of this Hitler that is unlike the visage of this dictator that I'm familiar with, is that he is sporting a pair of Spock-like Vulcan ears.
Ears? What the fuck is with those ears?
He looks like freaking Link. He looks like Link or like a Hylian from the game The Legend of Zelda. They're pointed.
Okay. Let's just... So it's a body of a skunk, the head of what is meant to be Hitler, and it's not been joined together like from two separate items. This is cast iron, so they've made it as one. This item was intended originally to be made like this. This wasn't sort of stuck together as a joke.
This wasn't some like Frankenstein Ushi Island of Dr. Moreau Ushi lab, which I'm sure...
This is forged in flame. This has been forged in flame with precision to look like what if Hitler were to be on the head of a skunk.
Now, I imagine when this was made, the point of putting Hitler's face on a skunk is to insult Hitler. You know what I mean? It's like, obviously, Hitler stinks or whatever, right? That's that's the extent of this satire, I imagine. But nowadays, and there was probably a time maybe in the 50s or the 60s, if you went to someone's house and they had that, you'd be like, oh, I remember the Second World War. Hitler does stink. Great, you know, great skunk Hitler. But if you went to someone's house...
People did seem to remember that war, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you went into someone's house now in 2020 and they had anything with Hitler's face on it, it's a red flag.
Yes. I think you're absolutely right, because I don't think that there's anything so humiliating you can do to the head of Adolf Hitler that justifies having that head in your house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hang on. I mean, now you've thrown down an interesting challenge. What's the worst thing you could? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
let me put it this way. Because I think there's a tipping point where it goes the other way too. If I went to somebody's house and they had like the piss Christ thing, but it was Hitler in a big thing of piss.
Yeah.
And they were like, and I was like, what's that? And they were like, you know, bloody fuck Hitler, you know, he's in piss. I'd be like,
I think he's bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, we all take that as red. Why are you know what I mean? Like, I would,
why are you trying to prove this?
I would assume that person was a Nazi.
Yeah.
Like, I would absolutely
are you trying to convince?
That.
It's a real case of thou doth protest too much, if you will. Yeah,
exactly. I'd be like, you're gilding the lily here. This is. Yeah.
All right, so for $150, I can't imagine I would buy this. Alexi, Ben, would you be interested in Hitler the Skunk?
No, it's too big. The only thing you could probably use it for is like a Monopoly token, but it's far too big for that.
It's a classic paperweight size, you know. It's like it's a proper knick-knack size, but I cannot imagine why one would have this and why... And also, $150 is quite... It's a chunk of change that you're giving up to have this little anthropomorphic character who, as well, I'm going to say it, there's something about this that unfortunately is very cute. And I think that is not an ideal thing that you would want in this item. If you were trying to, like, mock Hitler by having, like, this little skunk toy... You would want it to look ugly or something, but there's something
with claws and with like sort of, you know, scraggly. This
or
is a very like
lines,
plump,
something.
Real DreamWorks skunk. I think we have here. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately,
this is possibly a reject.
Cute.
I mean, we know that Walt Disney was an anti-Semite for large portions of his life. Do you think this was actually a rejected Disney draft? Mm. Perhaps.
I think this was the original flower. They were like, we've got a pitch for flour, so a lot of people think it stinks. What about if we put Hitler's head on it?
Alexi, do you have one to take us home, please?
I do indeed. The one that I've got to take you home, it comes from Liam.jpg. Oh, just Liam.jpg. Liam. And this is titled Tinnitus. And it says, how do I get tinnitus without hearing loss? Huh? This person trying to get tinnitus? How do I get tinnitus without hearing loss? I'm really into noise, and he capitalized noise, as if it was...
His noise...
He's talking about, I believe, the Brendan Cowell movie from 2007, the Australian film Noise.
No, he's not, Alexi. Stay focused, Alexi. Stay focused. Don't get distracted.
He's capitalized it, Hing. It's the only thing I can assume. It's a proper noun. Therefore, it is the specific film Noise from 2007.
Noise is about tinnitus.
It's a guy with tinnitus. Huh. Yeah, so he's a fan of that movie. Is what we're presuming. Okay. He's like, let me continue reading. I'm really into noise, must say, Brendan Cowell is one of my favourite actors. I admire him in many ways.
It does not say that. I've got the text. I've got the text in front of me. It doesn't say that.
That's not the classified I wrote, Alexi. I wrote these. I didn't write Brendan Cowell.
Okay, I'm really into noise, and I is not capitalized, however, when he's talking about himself, so he doesn't have a very high opinion of his own self, and I think having a high-pitched ringing sound in my ear permanently would be awesome. Okay, you might think I'm joking, but I'm not. It's like making the choice to get a tattoo. You only do it if you're committed enough. I've thought about it for a while, and I think I'd really like to do this. What's the best way to go about it?
Okay, can I say, as someone who has had quite bagged tinnitus in the past and also has tattoos. It is nothing like that. I feel like I'm uniquely qualified.
Yeah, you're qualified to answer this. Wow.
I mean, but the thing is, Ben, when you had tinnitus, though, you didn't get tinnitus with meaning, you know? You didn't get it to commemorate something.
No, I didn't.
I think maybe had you done that, you'd be, a little bit more sympathetic to this classified.
Well, also, I never got, like, I was never a huge fan of Noise starring Brendan Cowell.
Yeah,
so, like,
that's the thing. That's the thing. I'm really into Copland as well. That's another movie that has tinnitus featured in it very heavily. So it's like,
really?
Yeah, there's a couple. That's two examples of movies where cop has tinnitus, and it is a central theme of the plot.
I just don't know if Noise, and I know you are a huge supporter of Australian cinema, Alexi, and
yes.
I don't want to seem like I'm disparaging.
It's tantamount to my being
our industry. Yeah, but I don't know if Noise had that much cut through as a film.
No, it did not. It's a bit of a cult classic, but even using the word cult, I would say, is a bit too much. I think it's a very fine film. It's a great Australian picture, and I'm glad that there's just one fan out there that is still really burning the torch for Noise and trying to live that life.
You know the ringing that someone gets in their ears known as tinnitus?
Yes.
I'd heard a rumour once that it's always a high-pitched noise. I guess it's like a really high-pitched noise, and the reason the relation to your hearing is that's your ear losing
its
ability to hear.
That's the swan song of that frequency, yeah.
To hear that frequency. And, so it means
it's
sort of like
why
the way you lose
the
your
case.
Hearing. Yeah, I have no idea. That was just an urban legend that I heard. Over time, and I do know that you are unable as you go on to hear higher and higher pitched noises.
Yeah, that's true. You do lose your hearing from the top down.
Because I remember, when we were in high school, Ben, or maybe when you just started uni, there
teen
was a
buzz,
thing
the,
called
the,
teen
the,
buzz.
Yeah.
Do you remember teen buzz, Alexi?
What's teen buzz? I would say that, I'm just a tiny bit younger than you guys, so I may have missed out on teen buzz.
Teen Buzz was this... Okay, so here's how it started.
Yeah.
It started as a way that I think it was the London City Council decided to keep youths away from train stations at
yes!
night.
Yes! I remember this. I remember this.
Yeah, they'd play this frequency that only, like, teenagers can hear. Well, teenagers and people younger than teenagers. It's, like, super high, very annoying, but the rest of the community wouldn't be able to hear. And then... that became a bit of a thing, and then teens were like, well, we'll just start using this as our ringtone, and like, haha, we got you. But now that I think about it, like, just put it on vibrate.
Yeah. Well, it was so that it could disrupt the entire class, but the teacher wouldn't be able to hear it because the ringing sound would be away from the teacher's, outside of the teacher's hearing patterns. It originally started as something called the mosquito or the mosquito alarm, which was used to deter teens. And then Teen Buzz was launched in, I think, 2008 as a mobile ringtone.
Yeah.
It's now sold commercially.
I remember the ads. There would be ads on TV that was like, if you want your phone to ring.
You don't get a lot of ads for ringtones on TVs, do you?
Not anymore.
They were like a real part of my youth was those ads on TV for ringtones. I remember I had my mum's phone and she made me off the TV buy the Sex and the City theme song for her phone.
Really?
Yes, to be her ringtone. And earlier in this episode, I did talk about my love for U2. My ringtone was a polyphonic version of Beautiful Day.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow. That's true.
I have the hearing. I know that I have, because I used to study, when I was at uni, I studied linguistics and phonetics. And one of the things that we did was, like, we looked at the teen buzz sound and, like, basically the teacher just used a kind of computer thing to, like, start really high and then go low and see when everybody could stop hearing.
Yeah.
And I at the time was working at a venue that basically did heavy metal. And I had the hearing of about a 70-year-old man.
Wow, brutal.
Really? What do you think's caused that, Ben? Because you're not exactly someone who's is it years working in bars where there were gigs going on? Is it
Were you not listening? Were you doing that thing?
He actually explained it in the preamble.
Really?
Yeah,
I zoned out for a bit.
Something that has happened since you've started doing regular Triple J stuff is that you do the equivalent of just checking the text line every now and again,
mm.
where you just completely zone out.
He said, I can actually recreate word for word what Ben said because I was listening so intently. Ben was saying,
okay, Lexi, I'm very sorry.
Ben was saying that he studied linguistics in university.
Yeah,
and
no,
one
I got
of the
that.
Things that they did
yep.
was they showed this range.
Yep.
And then he found out he had the hearing of a 70-year-old man because he'd played at venues, which essentially, and he did use a word like essentially. Played heavy metal, and then I was thinking, like, well, it sounds like it actually was heavy metal, not just like heavy metal. It sounds like it would be the genre. But you might have got lost like me when he said he studied linguistics. I was thinking it would be very funny if I were to chime in now and said, funny you studied linguistics, I studied linguine in university. And I thought, is there going to be enough room for me to chuck that in? There wasn't enough room at the time. But then I was like, I've got to listen to what Ben's saying. So that's why I listened so intently, because I was trying to find the gap in there for me to say that.
Oh, well, my God.
On I'm that, very sorry.
On that, I really want to make sure we have enough time to talk about this podcast that you're doing. Because that, to me, is just such a classic Alexi Toliopoulos goof. And you could hear goofs of a similar stupidity on a season that already exists between you and Cam James, Finding Drago, which was one of my favourite podcasts, I think, of the past 5 years.
Wasn't it as good as Mike Dacey and Ira Glass?
It was just after that cutoff. I believe you said that was 8 years ago, so we were not in the same ballpark. Yeah.
I really did just pull a number out of my ass there because I didn't want to say it was my most favorite of all time because I felt like I'd be really simping for you there. But I also, really pressed, couldn't think of a podcast I'd ever enjoyed more. So well done, you've brought it out of me.
It's a
mystery podcast. It's the way I tend to pitch it to people is it's like if Serial were run by two idiots pretty much the
it's Serial if it was seriously stupid is how I would say. Oh, my Siri chimed in after saying all those words out loud.
I'll cut it out, Siri.
It's a new season. And, you keep going.
And
please edit this part out where we're all talking over each other.
I will not be doing that.
Okay.
Because we're not a professional podcast out of the Australian Broadcasting Australian Broadcasting Corporation, which Finding Neverland, Finding Desperado.
Oh my gosh! No. We're not Finding Neverland. We're not doing that kind of thing. It's actually quite,
quite wholesome. Finding Desperado is the sequel to Finding Drago. You've got a new mystery. It's the same team. And it's out now.
It's out now.
Is it all out or is it
week by week. Episode one is out now. And it is about us. We found another very interesting person out there that has a bit of like an elusive charm about them, a bit of a mystery. It is about a Guinness World Record that we believe to be phony. A phony, a fugazi, a fake Guinness World Record out there held by an elusive European aristocrat who got the Guinness World Record for world's youngest filmmaker in 1973 for directing a movie called Lex the Wonder Dog. And we are trying to track down this film and this man.
This ticks so many Alexi Toliopoulos boxes.
Wow.
It is it's a weird, very weird mystery adventure that we're going down this time. This is a very strange rabbit hole that Cameron found this time. So it is
Because Cam hosts it this time. It was the other way around before.
Yeah, this is Cam's story. I'm the one that stuck along the ride with him this time.
So I've listened to the first ep, and it is great. It is a return to form from the Noi Boys.
Thank you.
And also, I will say there are some voices on it that our listeners will recognise from Free to Get Home. The first episode has Ben Russell, of course, who's features throughout.
Yes, he plays once
Alex
again
Lee,
the voice of our mysterious,
mystery
target.
Person. Yeah. And Alex Lee is in at least the first episode that I heard. So
Alex Lee is in every single episode.
So in many ways, I'm just saying this is in some ways you haven't billed it this way, but it's a Free to Work at Home spin-off. You know what I mean? Like I think that's probably a good way for
absolutely.
And financially, I think we could talk about that. You know, like in terms of rights and stuff.
Well,
I mean, even if we should just get merchandising, Alexi.
yeah, we might get some merch out there. I probably made less than $1 an hour making this show, so I think that you might you can swallow up my debt if you are so inclined with making this show.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's like it's a group. It's fun because with this kind of show, we do get to get like our very talented group of like comedy friends to make something like very different and very weird, and like get to experiment with like building tension in different ways.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear more of it. And that's just on, like, you don't have to go to ABC or anything. You just type in Finding Desperado and you'll get it.
It's in your Apple Podcasts. It's in Google Podcasts. Finding Desperado is on those on the ABC Listen app. But because it's ABC, those are the main places you can get it. But if you Google it, I'm sure you'll find Finding Desperado in other ways as well. And
if you Google funny podcast, perhaps.
Yeah, I reckon it would be.
I mean,
one
you'll
of the
get this
links.
Podcast, and then we can link you to it as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
But only this episode. I believe this is the first one where we attempted humor. So, you know, maybe there'll be a bit more.
Just briefly on the topic of potential merch, Ben, you and I were thinking about the possibility of going to Brisbane to do a show, a live show for Freedom Good Home.
Ooh, yes.
We're not really sure about borders being reopened. You know, the place we live is still considered a COVID hotspot.
All things being as they are now, we're hoping to do a Brisbane show on the weekend of the 18th of December. So,
fingers crossed.
Leave that open because we're hoping to do that. And we're hoping to come up with some merch when we get up there.
Now, here was my idea for merch, Alexi. Let me run it by you and see if you would buy this or you think any of our listeners would buy this.
Mm-hmm.
It's we wanted something that we didn't want to do shirts and stuff.
It's
we
the
felt
body
like
of a skunk with Hitler's head on it. We've got a prototype.
It's his cast iron. No, so what we want to do is I didn't want to do t-shirts because I feel like there's so many podcast t-shirts out there.
Yes.
And I thought, what's something that people would actually use maybe while they're working from home or just like a thing that we can put out into the world to make people's lives better? And I was thinking, you know what could actually be good is drink bottles. Right?
Oh, okay.
And I was like, how can I make a drink bottle that is like Free to a Good Home branded without it just saying Free to a Good Home on the drink bottle because then people would steal it? And I thought, do you think anyone would buy a drink bottle that just had written on it, "This is not filled with cum"?
I actually do believe that would be a highly sought after piece of merchandise. Knowing this show as well as I do, I would say that cum heavily features throughout this series. And I do believe that people would like that.
And all right. I'm just furious. I'm going to go and stand in the yard for an hour because I really... I made the fatal error of putting this question to Twitter, and like we have to make it now.
I would also say that not only did you make this error, you also made this bed, and now you must lie in it. Much of the cum talk from this podcast has come from your very mouth, Ben, and so you must deal with the ramifications of, you know, how long has this podcast been going for? 5-6 years? A lot of
years.
Yeah, it's been about 5-6 years full of cum chat. And that's you, dude. That's
now,
on you.
Yeah, I know. And now I want to put away childish things, but I can't. So.
Well, nothing is more adult than the substance of semen. So you've done well.
All right, this has been an absolute pleasure to have you, Alexi Taliopoulos. Finding Desperado, find it where you find us.
Yeah, and we also have Total Reboot, which is our weekly movie podcast.
Of course, yes.
And while Finding Desperado is coming out, I'll also say we're doing a very special mini-series on that kind of goes hand in hand. The way that Finding Drago, the first season, was inspired like aesthetically and stylistically by Rocky and the Rocky movies, this new season is very much inspired by 90s thrillers like Silence of the Lambs and The Talented Mr. Ripley. So we are doing all like the Hannibal movies on Total Reboot. We're talking at Manhunter, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, and of course Red Dragon, the remake of Manhunter. So they're very good episodes with some very exciting guests on them.
Oh, magnificent. And those are all really, within certain bounds, great movies.
Yeah. For the most part, they are pretty good movies.
For the most part, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Hing, it's been a pleasure. Alexi, it's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next week.
It's been all mine.
See you next week. Bye. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you'd like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape,
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.